As you know, when we, God willing, we invite someone to be a member of the church, that he goes through a process. It's important that they meet with a couple of the elders and they share their testimony. The thing is, to be part of the church, anyone can join. To be a member, we feel it's important that you are a child of God. And that you have this story to tell of the wonder of God's grace in your life. And as Matt and Becky are family, I didn't think it was right for me to interview them. So Kerry and Mark interviewed them and they put it forward to the meeting. And the meeting have accepted them as members. And part of that is to come and share what God has done. And we're going to ask Matthew first to come and share how he came to know the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I became a Christian about a month before my 21st birthday. And the thing is that I always knew and understood the gospel. I'd been raised in a Christian home, and my parents were Christians from before I was born. We always went to church and did all the things that people usually do. And my father also taught us in the home. He thought it was very important that we studied the Bible at home and prayed and this kind of thing. So I was used to that, and if anyone asked me what the gospel was, I could articulate it quite clearly, probably from a reasonably young age. And then when I was about 10, I asked my parents about being a Christian and how you become a Christian, and they prayed with me. But over the course of my teenage years, I certainly remained interested, went to church and all the rest of it. But when I went to university, I very much went away from attending church. I wasn't particularly interested. At first it began as apathy towards Christianity. It wasn't something that interested me. And then it went to downright hostility towards Christians in particular. Then in the third year of university, I began to be aware that the Lord was working in a sense, in the sense that I was becoming aware that I was very much a sinner. And I remember having this sort of image of the fact that although I was perfectly happy, by the way, I had a great social life, had lots of friends and I was very happy. There was nothing about that particularly bothered me. But what did stick in my mind was the idea that I was spiritually dead. And I had this very strong sense that I was spiritually dead. Although I was, I was fit and healthy, I was very much spiritually dead. And it was that bothered me, as it were. And so the Lord began working in my life over a few months period, really, where this idea certainly did bother me. Now, I'd met somebody who had come to the university, and they'd come as an exchange student from the United States. And I was aware that this woman, this girl, was a Christian. She was a Southern Baptist. I knew she was a Christian. And so I thought, well, I'm going to stay well away from her. I certainly did not want to associate with Christians. I wasn't interested in speaking to Christians. And so she seemed very nice. I met her right at the beginning of a time there, but I thought, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with her. Anyway, just a month or so before she was due to leave, I thought, I'm pretty safe to talk to her now because she's leaving. So we struck up a conversation, and I thought that I'd said all the right things, that I was doing a very good impression of being a Christian, because of course when you're getting to know somebody you want to find something in common. And so I was talking to her about Christianity, and but clearly she wasn't fooled, because she gave me a book which I've brought with me here. This is the book that she gave me, and it's called More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, but when she gave it to me, I was pretty insulted, actually, because it was evident that this was an evangelistic book. And I was thinking, how can she not think I'm a Christian? Have I not said the right things? Have I not told her what the gospel is? Have I not in the past been to church and all the rest of it? Is it not clear? I was totally appalled that she would think that I wasn't a Christian. So I was quite offended that she'd given me this. But anyway, I decided that I'd read it nonetheless. And so I worked my way through it. I read it in one sitting, actually. As you can see, it's a very short book. And I was sat there on my own in the halls of residence where I lived. And I was reading this book, and I'll just read a little bit to you. It was in this book, he goes through Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and there's some quotations from Acts chapter 9. And so I was reading this, and it says, Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem," talking about Saul. And I read this and it started to resonate with me, how much harm he'd done. Now, in a sense, I began to reflect, because I was thinking, well, I've done some harm to Christians, because I've been quite rude to the Christians that I've met over the last few years. I've certainly given my parents a hard time about Christianity in the last couple of years. And then I carried on down the page and it said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Paul said, 'Have I not seen Jesus our Lord?'" And at that point, it dawned on me that just like Saul, I was seeing Christ. That Jesus was revealing himself to me, not physically, but spiritually. And I became aware in that moment that I was a sinner. And as I said, I was perfectly happy with my life. Most people would think it was probably a bad kind of lifestyle, but I was perfectly content. But nevertheless, this idea of spiritual death really hit home to me at this particular point, and I realised that Christ was the answer, and that only he could give you that life and that strength. And then I carried on to the next page, and it said, the author says, "Notice that Paul's encounter with Jesus and subsequent conversion was sudden and unexpected. A very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me." And that's how it was for me. It was very sudden. And in that moment, as I was reading these pages, I simply knelt down and prayed to God that he would forgive me. I was extremely aware of my sin. I think he'd been working in my life for a few months on that. And I just prayed for forgiveness. And up until that point, I'd very much been the boss of my life. I'd been king of my life, and at that point I wanted Jesus Christ to become the king of my life. And the author went on and goes on and says, "Paul's character was drastically transformed." You see, I thought that Christianity was all about what you did. It was things that you did that made you a Christian. But as I began to read this, and it says his character was drastically transformed, I thought that was quite interesting. And he goes on to say, the Encyclopedia Britannica describes him before his conversion as an intolerant, bitter, persecuting, religious bigot, proud and temperamental. And that was me. That was a really good description of me. After his conversion, he is pictured as a patient, kind, enduring and self-sacrificing. And what struck me was that we're justified, you know, we are made right with God in a moment. We stand right before God. And yet, the ongoing work of salvation continues. That's sanctification. The idea that we're transformed inside from being proud and temperamental and bigoted and all the other things. And we're transformed into the likeness of Christ. And finally, I read this bit. It says, 2 Paul's relationship with the followers of Jesus was transformed. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and when Paul went to the apostles, he received the right hand of fellowship. And so what I was able to do from that point was I was able to be reconciled with my parents, first of all, and I told them that I'd become a Christian, and of course they were very happy about that, and my mum sent me some sermon tapes, and they were moving at the time, they were getting rid of a whole load of books, Christian books, and so they gave me some of those. I'd never been interested in reading particularly. I read because I had to at university doing a history degree. I read because I had to, but I wasn't going to let books get in the way of a good education. There were plenty of other things to be getting on with at university. And so reading was not something I was interested in, but they gave me these books. And straight away, I began reading the New Testament. And I just couldn't get enough of it. And I would sit there with a notepad and I'd write down key verses. And I just was drinking it all in. I was listening to sermons over and over again, the same ones, because in those days, you know, you couldn't just get on the internet and listen to something. It was, you know, it was old school. And so I was listening to these sermons and reading books. I was reading two or three books a week, and I just couldn't stop being fed. It was just an extraordinary time. And, you know, in our lives, God brings these times when the Lord Jesus is just sweet, particularly sweet to us at particular times in our lives, and often that will follow conversion, and it certainly did for me. So for me, with my association with the Apostle Paul here, is that his conversion was dramatic and sudden, and mine was, and it did, and it's not like this for everybody, but it, you know, I was transformed quite quickly. And so that was quite. Anyway, I told my friend as well, who'd given me this book, and she was quite pleased. She did say, "Give it to somebody else when you finished with it," but I've never been able to part with it, so I've kept that. But anyway, so just briefly then, to say how we get to this point. Obviously, there are lots and lots of things I could say, but. You know, you can, it seems to me, certainly from my perspective, that you can know the gospel and not be a Christian. But you can't be a Christian without knowing the gospel. And for me, the first part of my life, I knew the gospel, but I wasn't a Christian. Because Christianity is about a relationship with God. It's about an experience with God. And that's what I've learned. And so I came to Coventry, never been to Coventry before, my interview here. A number of circumstances occurred which sort of manoeuvred me into coming here. And I got a job, and then I met Becky in 2007, because she came to work at the same place as me. We were married in 2008, and then we had Anna and Josiah, obviously, in 2011, 2013. In 2011, I thought it would be a good idea to move away from Coventry. And we decided, well, it was mainly me, we decided to move up to South Yorkshire for a new job, a different set of circumstances up there. It didn't really work out, and so we, through another convoluted set of circumstances, we found ourselves back in Coventry. So it seems that this is the place we should be, at least for the moment, so it looks like you're probably stuck with us. But we found ourselves back here, and we've been here now, and we went to Emmanuel in Leamington after we were married and continued there when we returned. And then really about just over a year ago, 15 months ago, we really, both of us independently, began to think that we should be looking for a different church. Not that we had any trouble at the church we were at or anything, we were very happy there, but we just really began to think strongly that we should be going somewhere else. And so we independently, again, we only had a conversation about this after we'd both been thinking about it for several weeks and praying about it, it seems. But Durbar was very much on both of our hearts. And so we ended up coming here, and we've been very thankful for that. And we'd like to, obviously, and on behalf of the family, thank Martin and the membership for reaching out that hand of fellowship to us. We felt extremely welcome and at home here. And that's how we got to this point. So I'll stop rambling on now and move to Becky. So
it's exciting, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I never tire of listening to someone's testimony and how God has led. Obviously, we're family, and I remember when Becky met Matt, and you heard all the little bits of I won't use the word gossip, that's not nice, but the what was going on, it was dead exciting at the time, and God has been very merciful. And when they moved up to South Yorkshire, it was a sad time, and we were praying all the time that maybe they would return, and God has been very good. No, I didn't know they would come here, but we are blessed. So I'll ask Becky now to come and share with us. Now, I'm going to ask Becky questions, and so that's how it'll go forward. Okay. The first question is this: were you always a Christian, and were you brought up in a Christian home?
Yes, I was brought up in a Christian home. No, I wasn't always a Christian.
Yes.
Because you can't be born a Christian.
No, that's good. Okay. So, when did you start thinking about your need?
When I was 5, actually. Shall I go into the
detail? Yeah, no, that's good.
So, we'd had at the time, my family were at Hillfields Evangelical Baptist in Hillfields. And we'd stayed in the sermon this one particular day because it was the Sunday school anniversary, so on days such as that we would stay in church, and the pastor at the time was Les Sidwell, who probably some of you remember, and it was actually, strangely, a bit of a hellfire and damnation sermon, which you might not think was the thing to be preaching on in a Sunday school anniversary. However, it really was the thing to be preaching about because it jolted me, even in at that young age, into recognising that I was actually not safe and that my parents' faith would not cover me. It wouldn't save me. So actually, I was very grateful that it was that kind of, well, really, in many ways, I would say it was a scary sermon because it was the reality of hell and that without Christ, we are lost to hell. So that's how I started thinking about it.
Yeah. Wow. Often people talk about not taking the children out and not allowing them to be in the service, but no one knows what the Spirit of God will do to a child. God is in control. He knows our hearts, and he's the one who speaks. So you were aware of this. Mm. So how did you then become a Christian? Was it late, a long time, or was it short time?
It was that day.
Oh, that day, yeah. Wow.
Well, that night, because I could not sleep. I was just so shaken by it. I mean, I'd heard of hell before, and I believed it was a real place, and I believed heaven was a real place, but it hadn't really gripped me so much that I felt I am going there if I'm not in Christ, I am going there. And it so shook me that I just could not sleep that night. And I wasn't sure whether I should come downstairs and talk to my parents. So I was kind of on the stairs, sitting there crying, not knowing whether to go down. And eventually, I think I must have made some tentatives, some noises or something. So Mum came out and said, whatever's wrong, brought me into the living room. And I told her why I was crying, that I was scared. And she said, well, you don't need to be scared. And so she told me how to become a Christian so that I would be safe. So we prayed together, asked for forgiveness for my sin, which was the thing that was condemning me to hell. And prayed that Jesus would come into my life and change me, and thanked him for dying on the cross in my place. And I remember my mum said, you have to really mean this. This cannot just be lip service. She didn't use the words lip service, but you can't just say it and not mean it, because it's just empty words then. So I remember saying, no, I really mean it. I really mean it. So that's how it actually happened that night. And then I slept soundly, actually, after that.
Oh, it's tremendous, isn't it? It doesn't through your heart when you think that a young child of 5 and God just steps into their history? Oh. So you become a Christian when you're about 5, and how did that change your life? And have you done anything with your life for you?
Initially, not a huge change, because of course I was 5, and although I was a sinner from birth, sinful, you know, had a sinful nature from birth, I hadn't committed any great crimes, although any sin against God is a great crime against Him. But to the outside world, I probably hadn't changed a huge amount, because it's very hard to gauge a change in a child so young. But as time went on, I did realise I was different to the friends I had in my class. And I think probably there was a change, it was definitely an internal change, but it was a change in recognising that the Bible was true, which I believed it was true, but it'd been kind of head knowledge rather than heart knowledge, and I think that was the main change initially. And then changes, probably, hopefully, through life, I've changed to be more like Christ, hopefully. And as I got older, went to university, I wasn't really interested in the things that my other friends were interested in, going out and drinking too much and being in the wrong places. That didn't really appeal to me at all. So I suppose I did stand out as being different in that regard. I was very involved in the church I was at when I was at university, perhaps a bit too involved, probably nearly burnt out actually. I was involved in everything, but that was my desire to be part of it was probably what fueled that. So yes, it's been a gradual thing through my life, but yeah, initially it probably wasn't a road to Damascus kind of thing.
And not everybody does. As Matt said, we're all different, aren't we? And at the end of the day, it's not always how you start, because lots of people will start, as the parable of the sower and the soil tells us, and the seed. Not all keep walking, and obviously, as a family member, you would pray for all your nieces and nephews, and you would hear these stories. We'd heard, and you're excited, but at the time, you're always saying, "Lord, keep them. Make sure that is a constant walk." And that's tremendous, that is, and becoming part of the membership here, obviously, if anyone becomes a member, there's ideas in all our minds, but we want it to be gentle, we want it to become part of the fellowship, and God, we know that you have gifts, and you've got 2 beautiful children that have been a delight to us, and it's lovely, we're dead excited that you're here. And we'll just have a word of prayer and ask God to bless you both and the family. Father in heaven, we just want to thank and praise you for your mercy to us as a fellowship in drawing Matt and Becky to us. And we do pray that you would bless them and bless Anna and Josiah, that Lord, that they too would come to know the wonder of grace as their mum and dad have. And that, Lord, as we look back in years to come, that we will have great stories to tell of your leading and your guiding. So, Father, we thank you for this. And we pray that as we give them the right hand of fellowship, that, Lord, that they would taste of your presence. And, Lord, that they would be blessed more than they ever could have imagined. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.